What's like one of your favorite items of tech that came out this year?
The reason that I'm really excited about this device and I'm really excited about this piece of tech as a whole is the fact that it was probably one of the first like real examples of augmented reality that's like gonna actually play into our world now. Welcome back to the Digital Dive Podcast, a conversation about tech. My name is Darsh. I am one of your hosts.
My name is Jacqueline. I'm your other host. In this week's episode, we're going to do a best tech of 2022. So basically talking about our favorite smartphones, tablets, other out there tech that you wouldn't expect. Actually, we both have a couple things in our list that I feel like we haven't talked about heavily online, but they've changed our lives. So we're going to talk about that. And I also want to give a shout out to Voices by Pat, who gave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and said, "Love it. I love this podcast. There's a great flow and superb knowledge of the products. Keep up the great work, guys." Pat, thank you so much. Your support means the absolute world to us. We want to say happy holidays, happy new year to everyone that's listening. And we're going to, I think, roll the intro right now and then hop right in.
All righty. So, Jacqueline, we are back and in full
force. Should we acknowledge the elephant in the room that my voice sounds so different than normal because I'm sick?
I actually don't notice. I actually haven't noticed.
Really?
This entire time we've been talking. Like, Jack and I have been talking for maybe an hour before we started recording because we haven't caught up in a while.
Yeah.
And Jacqueline's like, yeah, you go for it. Just explain yourself, Jacqueline.
Okay, I'm glad that you can't tell. So basically, Darsh and I were going to record on Saturday and Friday. So like the last week, I've had like a lot of different social events and stuff. And I was like really hoping that I didn't get sick because it was like one of my best friend's birthdays on Friday. And then like the week before, I had like 3 different parties also for some of my best friends for their birthday. And I was like, all right, I just like cannot get sick this week. I want to be able to go. And then Friday celebrated with my friend, had like an amazing day. And then Saturday I woke up and I felt sick. And I was like, all right, this kind of sucks, but it's like the most ideal timing out of all of the timing because I got to do all of the events. So Saturday, basically Darsh and I were going to record in the morning. And then I like had edited really late that night. So I slept late. So like we were recording at 11 and I hadn't like said anything yet. So like the first spoken word was me joining the Discord and literally like nothing came out. I like completely had lost my voice. That was a wild, like, trippy thing. I actually sent Darsh a video of what it sounded like because it was insane. But anyways, then Sunday, it, like, got a little bit worse. And I just wanted to make sure that I didn't have, like, COVID or strep or RSV. So I went to the urgent care and just, like, got tested for all of the above. And everything came back negative. So I think I just have, like, a viral cold that's getting better. So my voice is actually mostly back now. It sounds really different to me, but I guess it doesn't sound different to, like, the world.
I think that, like, you'll notice it more than we will, but I guess we'll find out. You guys let us know on Twitter at Digital Dive Pod.
I bet my mom will notice it. I feel like that would probably be the only person.
Fair. Honestly, actually, a couple weeks ago, I had a cold and I apparently sounded really nasally. And the only person who called me on it was my mom.
Like, oh, that's so cute. Yeah, moms just notice all the smallest things. It's so cute.
Exactly. But
anyways, I feel like I just went on a soapbox and we should be talking about tech. So
I was about to say, we're here to talk about tech, not Jacqueline's nasally voice. I'm kidding. It's not nasally. Don't get me wrong. Please don't.
No, you're so good. Yeah. So hit us with your first one. What's like one of your favorite items of tech that came out this year?
Absolutely. So I think the first one for me and the biggest one that I thought was cool was the MetaQuest Pro. Now, I don't mean this in the sense of like it is a piece of tech that everyone should go out and buy. And if you're listening to this thinking about buying a MetaQuest Pro, don't do it. The reason that I'm really excited about this device and I'm really excited about this piece of tech as a whole is the fact that it was probably one of the first like real examples of augmented reality that's like actually play into our world now. Almost like an Altered Carbon or like Ready Player One almost kind of environment where you're able to put on a pair of glasses and then see these adjustments to the real world in front of you. Although this is a really cool concept and the ideas and things that they've been able to create through this set of goggles are great, I think that it is still a ways to go in terms of quality, but it is definitely very, very cool with how everything works. Like, for example, if you're in a video call and so you're in a call and you want to like use these goggles to do it, it uses like these sensors and these cameras at the bottom of the goggles to identify your face, what you look like, and your facial expressions, and then builds you into a caricature that goes into these meetings and like fully or fully expressive. It's almost like a Memoji, and it's for a video call. And I think that's really cool because then you're sitting in this virtual table, this virtual conference room, talking to people from all over the world. And I think that's really, really cool.
I actually love that. You know, it's interesting because I think a lot of amazing people work at Meta, but also they do a lot of sketchy things like as a company. And so this was not a product that really interests me, but I'm excited and also scared about the concept of like VR in general. And like when I talked to Dom McGuire, who's like the CMO of Snapdragon earlier last month, we were talking a lot about AR and VR. And he was like, VR is escaping, AR is enhancing. And VR is not inherently bad if you want to escape, but AR is probably more practical because it can like add little things to your life on a day-to-day while like still keeping you in the real world. So like when we look at like 2023, I'm more excited about AR. I'm cautious about both because I feel like, and Darsh and I could like go on a whole tangent about this, but we won't. But I feel like we're so overloaded with dopamine all the time that it's like causing like a mental health crisis with like everyone being on technology all the time. And so like VR and AR scare me in terms of like never getting a like mindful moment away. But in terms of like the way that it can connect people and stuff like and provide new experiences, then I do think it is cool.
No, absolutely. I fully agree. I think that it's really, really cool, but it is something to be mindful of. VR is absolutely a way to escape. The only reason this excites me the most is because it's the best example of AR that I've seen. And then on top of that, also like the ability to have like multiple displays. So like if you're sitting on a call and you have these goggles on, like you can fully have three like heads up displays put in front of you and they're connected to your computer and they're fully like touch, like it's touch controlled almost. Like you're using gestures to control through this interface. And it's something that I feel like you'd see in like an Iron Man movie. But it's not necessarily something that you'd see in the real world. And seeing this kind of come to life and in fruition, although it is Meta, it is still something that could be really, really cool in theory. And I think that the Meta being the first one to come out with it makes it super cool.
Interesting. Why is Meta the company that you want to come out with it first over like Apple?
I think because Meta's coming out with it first, this is very much a first generation product, which is why I say like, don't buy it. It is a very cool concept and it's really cool to see like this kind of technology put into action. But because it is the first concept, it means that a lot of other companies can now look at this and play with it and kind of figure out a better or like a more usable design, a more usable headset as a whole. And I think that Meta being the first one to do it, for one, it finally like plays into why their name is Meta, which makes me happy. It finally has some kind of continuity there.
Yeah.
But on top of that, it's also like they have the most money to actually go and play with this kind of stuff because they do have a lot of money as a company and they're very hell-bent on trying to expand out of just social media. And so they have a huge driving force in their R&D department to build out such products like this. And I think that that is what makes it so important because if they're able to do this as like a software-based company, build out a piece of hardware like this, imagine what a hardware-based company could do with the right incentive. And now that this is in the market, there is going to be a resurgence, I guess, of devices that are going to be similar to this. Like Google Glass was way ahead of its time. It was available and had a similar concept, but it was never fully fleshed out. But now Google's making hardware again. Facebook came out with these with the Meta Quest Pro. Apple's rumored to have an AR set of glasses coming out too. Like, so seeing Facebook do it first just means that we are going to see a lot more companies come out with it. And Facebook being the first doesn't mean that we have to all adopt Facebook.
Yeah, I agree. I think like the thing that I hope happens the most if we're moving to a VR future is that it gets like diversified. Like I would not love one company to be like the company that like is doing it. And on that note, I think that Apple is definitely a company that is probably going to get involved in some way because they're really heavily like working on the LiDAR sensor, which is like a way to kind of map out a room using laser technology. And obviously like one of the reasons why they would be testing that on the phone is because that would eventually help with like AR glasses. And so one of my favorite things this year was the iPhone 14 Pro, which has LiDAR obviously, but I think the biggest thing I loved about it was shockingly the dynamic island. I know a lot of people were really hyped about it when it first came out, and then it ended up, I guess, I actually think it changed the way I use my phone. If I went back to not having it, I would immediately adapt. I don't think that it has fundamentally made it so every other phone sucks, but I do notice like on a daily basis it does save me a lot of time. I use Spotify so much that being able to like quickly tap into a song and skip the track and like not leave whatever screen I'm on, it's kind of enabled multitasking in a new way. So one of my favorite things this year is definitely iPhone 14 Pro and the software integration with it, like kind of like using a hardware limitation to kind of enhance the phone.
Honestly, that's fair. With the dynamic island though, like are there other big use cases you found have been, I guess, really useful in your day-to-day that you weren't expecting? Because I understand like I actually got the chance to play with the dynamic island a bit more when I went to the Apple store a couple weeks ago to get my butterfly switches fixed again.
Gosh, because they're like the worst in the world.
A little bit of a side tangent, if I may.
Please do it.
So I went in and I asked them, I was like, yo, like, so my N key isn't working. I'm starting a new job. Like I need my computer. Any chance that you can get this like fixed for me today? They're like, yeah, we'll pop off the keycap and like just clean underneath it, make sure it's working. Comes out afterward and tells me, oh yeah, so like the membrane looks like it might be a little bit messed up. And so that actually might require an entire replacement of the keyboard and the trackpad.
Oh my God.
And I was thinking, I was like, okay, like this is technically like under the like recall program. Like they should be able to do this for free. It's like, nah, it's actually out of warranty. And now that the computer's been 4 years since you bought the computer itself, you're no longer covered under that recall program. And so he's like, at that point, we'd be talking about like potentially going out and buying a new computer altogether. And I'm like, are you serious? You like this computer should last actually me 10 insane. Years. And you're telling me that right now that because of a keyboard 10 issue that years. You made, I've my mom is using currently a 2013 MacBook Air. My dad's using a 2011 iMac. Like these are like old computers, like 12 and 10 years old computers, and they're still working phenomenal. So like I have a lot of faith in Macs because they last so long, and if you treat them right, they'll treat you right. But with this in specific, like this bugs me because it's like I buy a Mac with the intention of not having to upgrade for 5 years. And now I'm looking at it, I'm like, yeah, like I'm going to need to sell this and get something new soon, because if a keyboard issue comes up in the next couple of months, that's going to be brutal to have to go out and like find a new computer at that time. So I'm definitely starting to look now.
Yeah, that is actually like, it's so unfortunate, the butterfly key situation. I'm happy that they improved it this year, but that was genuinely such a mess up on their part. That was wide scale.
Absolutely. But switching gears back into the iPhone side of things, with the 14 Pro and the Dynamic Island, after getting to play with it a little bit in store while I was waiting for my computer to be fixed, I did notice that I couldn't necessarily think of a lot of use cases where the Dynamic Island would be very effective, I guess, in like your day-to-day.
Yeah.
So are there any other like noticeable things that you end up doing with the Island that make your day easier? Or is it like mostly just like these quick tasks of like controlling multimedia and checking notifications and stuff like that?
It basically is just like the small things like that. Like since I listen to so much music, actually one of my next favorite things this year is Spotify. Like I literally use Spotify for 73,000 minutes this year. Like I listen to so much music that it's kind of like what I do when I'm cooking, if I'm trying to like enhance my mood or like go on a walk, like a lot of different, I feel like music is like universally there for me in a million different ways. And so since I'm listening to music so frequently, that one use case on the 14 Pro really enhances my experience with it. But other than that, I think they promised a lot of integrations that we just haven't seen yet. I'm trying to think about the other cool one is that it like adapts in real time to like, if you have multiple apps open, so you can like quickly go back into an app. But I think it's less useful than a lot of people predicted it would be. But in like all of those like micro enhancements, if you use your phone a lot of time throughout the day, then like, let's say I listen to music 10 different times a day, like that saves me a couple seconds each time. And it also, if we think about it from like a multitasking perspective, leaving an app and opening up a brand new app and then going back to the initial app like breaks my attention more than just quick tapping and switching a song does.
Okay, no, that's fair, because you have to like fully go to a different app, or you have to pull down your notification shade, and like this is a lot quicker and easier, and it's nice.
But
to
I
have
wouldn't
that
say
of...
it's like revolutionary, like mm-hmm. I don't want to go that far, but it definitely is just like a small little thing that's enhanced my life. And then the 48 megapixel camera is really nice as well.
Okay, absolutely. Have you noticed much of a camera I guess shift in quality?
For
it's not,
sure
it's not always using 48 megapixels though, right? It's
definitely not.
Okay,
yeah, so yeah. It does pixel binning like a lot of other phones do. And then also you can like turn on a focus enhancer mode, because the issue with pixel binning is when you have really large pixels, what ends up happening is only a small part of the subject will be in focus, and then you have kind of like this runoff effect, and it makes the image actually look worse a lot of the time. And so to counterbalance that, there's this feature that like basically when it notices that you've gotten close to something, it will almost go into like this mode where it gets a lot more in focus, and then you can turn that on or off. But in general, I would say like I've noticed an increase in low light performance, video is great, and overall, like because iPhone is constantly improving on like an AI side as well, the images just are processed better this year. So I feel like when I take a photo on the iPhone 14 Pro, most of the time it looks like a really good photo. But obviously you could say that same thing about like the 13 Pro. So like my friends that have the 13 Pro, I wouldn't say like, oh my god, like you need to upgrade. But as obviously someone that reviews tech, I had to upgrade, and I feel like it's enhanced my life in a lot of different ways.
Wow. No, that's a very, very valid point to make. And I fully understand that. I mean, the chipsets themselves, like Apple Silicon has become increasingly like
true
better year after year.
True.
And we've seen that with the iPhones and even now with the Macs, but talking a little bit more about their Silicon. So the H2 chip and the AirPod Pro second gen, phenomenal. Now, if you
that's one of your next ones that you love, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Another favorite.
So another favorite of mine from this year was the AirPod Pro second generation. I'm very grateful for the fact I was able to get them for Christmas as a present, and I've had them for 2 days, and it's literally just changed.
Wait, so yeah, tell me. I want to know what you like about them and what's new, because I feel like this is when you have natural enthusiasm about a product, it just bleeds through, and I could tell how much you like them. We were talking about it before the pod.
Yeah, well, so for one, one of my biggest gripes with the first generation AirPod Pros was that you couldn't actually raise the volume with any of the controls. And so with this year, you can actually raise the volume just by slightly swiping upward. on the stem, you can get like a raise in volume. And that's actually really cool to me, because when like you do it, you get this little like this little sound almost. So it's like, it's very muted and subtle, but it's there. And it kind of tells you like, yeah, you're raising the volume. Like that's what you're doing. So that's always cool to know. And then on top of that, the noise cancellation and transparency mode is absurd. I'm talking like, this is like the best noise cancellation and transparency mode I've heard on a pair of in-ear earbuds like ever. Like they're up to par with my XM4s, and my XM4s have beaten out my AirPods every single day of the week for the past couple of years. So this has been huge for me.
That's wild. Yeah. And this, did you try out the AirPods first gen or no?
So I had the first gen AirPods, like the normal ones. Then I had the Pros, and then now I have the second gen Pros.
So you can feel a big difference between the first gen Pros and the second gen Pros?
Oh, absolutely. Audio quality definitely got better. Noise cancellation, transparency mode, definitely better. The case, now that it has an actual set of microphones on it, also makes it a lot better of an experience, because I use a wireless charger to charge my AirPods. And so when you set it on the charger and it's charging, it gives you a little chime, which is really cool, because that's a huge indicator for me that it's actually charging. Because I'm using one of the, like, I'm using the, I don't remember exactly which company this is. I think it's, I couldn't even tell you. It's one of like the MagSafe chargers. It has like the MagSafe, like the floating one, and then a charger for your watch or your Apple Watch. And then
maybe let's post a picture on our Twitter of this so people can see.
Yes. Once I figure out exactly like what company, it's one of like the, it's Belkin. It's the Belkin one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
if you guys like, want to see a visual, Dorsh is going to post a picture on our Twitter.
I will post a picture on the Twitter.
Okay, amazing.
But with that being said, yeah, like just being able to know that it's charging, it's huge, huge, like huge, huge win. The fact there's extra small ear tips this year, also a big win. I use the medium size, but I do know that like my mom, we got her a pair of AirPods a while ago, and we had to buy like a third party set of ear tips for her because they weren't fitting. So I'm gonna, smaller set? Yeah, smaller set. Like we got like a memory foam, like extra small set of ear tips so that they'd fit in her ears better. And now she wears them all the time. Beforehand, she wouldn't.
You know what I wear all the time? An Oura ring. Which is my next one.
Nice transition.
Thank you. So full disclosure, I've worked with Oura Ring in the past as a sponsor, but they are not sponsoring this. And it was obviously like a dedicated like one-off sponsor when I've worked with them. I think I've worked with them twice now, but I genuinely wear the ring every single day. Actually, so a bunch of my friends wear it. And I remember one of my friends called it like the new friendship bracelet, because kind of like when you wear an Oura Ring, I feel like it says a couple things about your values, like your health conscious and stuff. So I wear one because what I think is cool about it is it tracks like your sleep, temperature. Like when I get sick, it normally knows before me that I'm going to get sick. And then it also can like do period tracking. It does activity tracking. One of my good friends and fellow YouTubers, Shervin Shares, always says like all wearables are wrong, but some wearables are helpful. And so I definitely don't think that wearables are like a science, but I think what's really nice about it is it keeps me accountable. Like one of my goals in life is to get 8 hours of sleep a night 80% of the time, because I feel like 20% of the time you like 80-20 rule, like there's time to have fun and like not sleep. And there are definitely a lot of reasons to stay up too late. But like most of the time, I know 8 hours of sleep is really good for your health and it's important to me. So I feel like the ring keeps me accountable on that. And then also what I think is cool about it is you can kind of see your progress over time with like how fit you are with heart rate variability and respiratory rate and things like that. So it's something that I wear every day. I wouldn't recommend it to people that like feel like they're going to get health anxiety, because I definitely have personally experienced and seen a lot of articles where like the ring actually makes people sleep worse and like perform worse because they're so anxious about like getting the 8 hours, getting a good score, et cetera. So I don't think that it's like the type of product that you should like let your rule your life. But I think if you see it as like a, just a way to like get data and like be interested in your health, then it's a really cool product. And I definitely really like mine and wear it every day.
Yeah, no, I've actually really been considering picking up an Oura Ring.
Oh yeah, you were trying to get one. Yes, yeah. I forgot we had this discussion. You should get it.
Thinking about it for a while, I think it's a really, like, I really like rings, and I've been wanting to get another ring that I can wear full time, and I thought that a smart ring would be best case for me, just because I don't like smart watches. And I've voiced this quite a bit on the podcast, I feel, in the past couple of years, that I'm just not a big, like, Apple Watch person. The only time I use my Apple Watch is literally just for the gym, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. But with that being said, the Oura Ring is definitely really cool, and the fact that it has, like skin temperature readings, so we can like early detect whether or not you're getting sick. I don't know, Jacqueline, like you tell me firsthand use, like this past week, did you get a notification from your Oura Ring?
It didn't. No, actually, okay, this is like a fault of the product. It told me that today I was optimal and I'm like fully sick. I woke up today literally feeling terrible. So I don't know what the ring was on today, but in August I was sick as well. And that time it did catch it. Like the day before, my readiness was like a 49 out of 100. And I was like, oh no, like I'm definitely getting sick. And then the next day I woke up with a fever. So I think
I think if you have a fever, Yeah, like if your body temperature is raising above a certain point, I think that's probably when it'll pick it up, but not for like a cold.
True. Yeah, that's valid. And what's cool about it is like you can add tags in. So I added in a tag today for like sore throat, et cetera. And so like now it will know like, oh, like this type of sleep pattern is paired towards this type of thing. And also you can add in other things like alcohol, because alcohol can really affect your sleep quality. So like even if you feel like you slept a long time, like even just having one drink can like really affect your REM sleep. And so it's cool that like you can like directly see like a pattern between like your behavior, which again, like I don't think drinking is like inherently bad, right? 80-20 rule, like sometimes it's nice to like go out and have fun, but it's cool that like you can see like the, I guess like correlation between like different decisions that you make and then the result of them. So you can kind of make an informed, like intentional choice. Like, yes, I want to go out tonight and I'm okay with like not getting a lot of sleep or whatever. And I feel like it kind of like, I don't know. It's just, it's a cool way to like document how like different things affect how you feel. But again, I think there's a way that it can become too much too.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And I think it's a very cool device, and the fact that it's so small, it kind of fits into like most people's aesthetic. It's just it's a simple ring, and there's two different styles to it too. So I think that it's really cool there, and I'm really excited for it. I think I'm definitely gonna probably buy one in the new year. Or Aura, if you want to, you know, sponsor an episode on the pod, if you're listening, we're here for it. We clearly like your product. Hit us up. Really bad transition aside, talking back into Apple Silicon. My next one, my next love of the year, was the 2022 MacBook Air, the M2.
Yeah.
I think that this was an exceptional, exceptional device. For one, the fact that the M series of silicon is now on its second generation is great because there's more adoption widespread across all these different developers. But on top of that, like I actually got to play around with one. And for one, first off, keyboard, great. Not butterfly switches, scissor switches, as they should be, which was phenomenal. But also just the fact that it's fanless. There's no fan in there. So you're getting instant responses as if you're using like a new phone, and you don't have to really worry about anything. And it's quick, it's easy, amazing screen, amazing video quality camera, like for the webcam. Like my MacBook Pro from 2018, the webcam sucks. That's just my take. But it's a potato. And I think that in a generation where we're like using our video calling services so frequently, like it should be better.
Yeah, where it's like a vital part of work. It's wild that it's so bad.
Exactly, exactly. So I guess third one for this series is literally just the M2 MacBook Air. I think that is one of the better devices that Apple's come out with, and it's definitely a huge step forward for the MacBook lineup as a whole.
I love that. My last one is actually what we did a dedicated episode on last week. My best friend showed it to me. I became obsessed. It's called ChatGPT. It's this new thing from OpenAI. If you guys want a deep dive, like if you have no idea what it is, you should go back and listen to last week's episode, because I literally did like a beginner's guide. Here's everything you need to know. But the bottom line is that AI is getting scary, but also super exciting. And I think that if we use it in the right ways, it can really become like a personal assistant to you in idea generation, in like finding out information quickly. Like for example, Darsh and I could put in like four different podcasts that we've done previously and then be like, give us new topics to do. And like within seconds, it will generate a list of topics. So I think it's going to really help people in creative industries. And also you could be like, help me come up with a split at the gym that will really work on my abs or something. And then it will also do that. So like, I feel like in a lot of ways, it's like a personal research assistant. The information isn't all accurate, but as like one of the first few generations of this product, I think it's so exciting. And so that's definitely a really recent one, but something that has me very hyped on like the future of tech for the year.
Honestly, me too. That sounds awesome. And if you guys want to hear an episode that is fully tailored and created, I guess, by ChatGPT, let us know.
That's kind of cool.
That'd be a really cool episode. We could just do a full topic list done by ChatGPT, and we can chat about it and just see how it goes. You guys let us know at Digital Dipod on Twitter, and that could be a really cool episode.
Dude, the title for that could be like ChatGPT made this episode.
Yeah, literally. That actually sounds awesome. I would.
I love that idea. That's a great idea, Darsh. I'm down.
I'm down. Leading into my last one for my list, and that is actually something I got a chance to play with this week. Huge shout out to Samsung for sending this out, the Galaxy Z Fold 4.
Ooh.
I finally got to check it out. I've used the Flip before, but I finally got to use the Fold 4, and I think that is honestly, like, it is driving me to get back to Android. Like, I am so happy with it to a point of, like, I regret being on iPhone, but I know that the blue bubble stigma is still there, and so
until
I'm going to be... It might be a little rough, but for now, Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 4, I think, is definitely on my list. It is, for one, so much more refined than it was in previous years. So the fact that we actually have the ability to... Okay, the fact that we can actually open and close it without being constantly concerned of dust, I think, is a huge win. The fact that there's no open entry points for dust is also another big win. So it's overall, as a whole, like, they've gotten a lot better with it. The front screen might be a little narrow, but it does get the job done for what you need. And I don't know, I just think that overall as a whole, the Z Fold 4 is extremely exciting, and I'm really excited to see the future of foldable devices.
I love that. Yeah, I think that what's really cool when you test out a foldable is you kind of like get to hold a piece of the future in your hand, which leads me into the last point of this episode, which is that I think it'd be really cool if we did a 2023 like trends and things that we're excited about leading into the new year. And so if you guys want that, please let us know. Starting out the new year, we're going to still have episodes every other Monday, and then we may be moving back to a weekly schedule. So we'll definitely keep you posted on that in the episodes and on Twitter. I want to thank you guys so much genuinely for an incredible year. You guys enable so many cool opportunities for Darsh and myself, whether that be like the people that we get to speak to or even just like our community is honestly the best. Like talking to you guys on Twitter makes us so happy. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Hopefully you guys have an incredible new year with friends and family, and we will see you in 2023.
Wait. We got stuff we like this week.
Oh my gosh, Darsh, that's amateur hour on my part.
We're out of practice. You know what? We switched the schedule, and I feel like we're just a little rusty here, all right?
Yeah,
but
we're still here for it. Since we've done so many stuff we like this week, this episode, I was like, I wasn't even in the mindset. Okay, yeah, let's do it. All right, my first one for this week, wow, that's wild that I just completely forgot. Okay, my first one for this week is a song called Christmas Tree Farm by Taylor Swift. Obviously, you guys are going to be hearing this post-Christmas, but this song is, like, so holiday-y to me. And anyone that knows me, like, in my personal life knows that, like, I'm obsessed with, like, the September to December. It's, like, my favorite time of year. And this song gives me, like, all the wholesome vibes.
Wow, that's awesome. I definitely got to check that out then. Still got to get on the Swifty wave. I'm not there yet.
But you're the worst. Open it up and try.
I will eventually sit down and properly listen to T-Swift, I will say. What is it called? My first one for this week is actually more of a personal life update. I did allude to it a little bit early in the episode, but I am now a working man in the workforce. So I just got a full-time job. I just started a couple weeks ago. It's in the creator economy. I'm working at an influencer marketing agency. So it's really cool to be able to be on the other side of things this time around. And I think that this is going to be a really, really cool opportunity. It definitely is a bit tiring at times. And so I do appreciate Jacqueline for letting us switch to this bi-weekly schedule just while I'm getting adjusted to this new work schedule. And it's going to be honestly phenomenal. I'm super excited, and I'm excited to share with you guys about the experience as we go through.
Yeah, dude, first of all, I'm so stoked. When I heard about this, I literally freaked out.
Oh, she sent me a voicemail. Like, Jack and I don't do phone calls because we're in two different countries. But true. She fully sent me a call. She fully called me and then left a voicemail. It was the sweetest voicemail.
Ooh, okay.
this was honestly awesome. Like, thank you so much, Jack, and like the amount of excitement.
Dude, I truly meant every word. I genuinely love you. I'm so excited. I'm also equally as excited for the influencer marketing agency, honestly, because Darsh is genuinely so brilliant. And not only, like, I think what's really unique about Darsh is that he's amazing with people. Like, he's the life of the party. Everyone loves him. But then also he has, like, a lot of practical skills. And that's, like, a very rare combination. So I think he's going to do so many cool things at this influencer agency. And I'm also excited for Darsh because we've both been in the creator economy for literally 7 years. And I think it's so cool to, like, watch all of your creative work come to fruition and, like, being able to work with other creators and, like, learn that part of the business too as we keep going on our creator journey.
No, exactly. It's absolutely crazy. And, like, honestly, like, working with creators again is, like, making me want to start creating again. So, like, I don't know.
Yes, maybe that's please.
This is literally just going to be a New Year's resolution, and I'm going to have to stick to it because I'm literally telling everyone listening to this, please just hold me accountable. Just ask me on Twitter, like, where are the videos? Just pester me, please. I need the encouragement. I need to know you guys want to see my content.
But, yeah, dude, honestly, you're amazing. And Darsh and I were talking before about, like, different content things that he wants to try. And all of them are genuinely so exciting. So I'm stoked, honored to have known about the job. And I'm just super excited to, like, see what unfolds. And, like, whatever Darsh is able to share in the podcast, I think will be really interesting too. So yeah, just super exciting. All good things heading into the new year.
It's going to be really, really cool. But Jacqueline, do you have any more stuff you like this week?
Ooh, I went to go see a movie. I wasn't, like, super, the movie was, like, pretty good, but just going to a movie theater, honestly, is, like, one of the things that gives me so much serotonin, and, like, I should just do it more because I like it so much. Like, just the experience, even just, like, I literally went by myself and it was amazing. And I feel like a lot of people are, like, afraid of doing things by themselves, but I think, like, we all should, because if you don't like yourself, like, what are you doing? And so I went to go see a movie on, like, Monday, and it was amazing. So I'd highly recommend going to a movie theater. Like, honestly, the movie doesn't even matter. I feel like it's, like, the experience of, like, collectively seeing something with a group of strangers and, like, all having the same emotional experience. That's so fun.
No, honestly, that's so fair. I miss going to the theater for sure. Definitely do enjoy watching my movies at home, but there's something about sitting in a theater and watching this new movie that has just come out that, like, everyone's super excited for. Like, that kind of excitement, you definitely do feel in the vibe at the theater itself. And I think
totally.
It's really awesome to just be there and be able to experience it.
Agreed. Darsh, do you have any last one for this week?
Yeah, my last one for this week is actually a song. It's one I've been listening to quite a bit lately.
Ooh,
It's called Breathe by Russ.
Ooh.
Well, it's called 315. Like, 3:15, then in brackets says Breathe, but it's by Russ. And I don't know why, like, it's just, it's such a great song. I just, like, I think that it's like this mix of like vibe while also it's like really high energy. And I don't know, I've been on a huge Russ kick as of late. So it was a really, really good song to find.
That's awesome. All right, I'm definitely going to check it out. I feel like you always have good taste in music. So everyone should go check that out. And we'll see you guys in the next episode. Thank you so much to Adil Constantine for the incredible intro outro music. If you guys like what you heard this episode, please, if you feel up to it, give us a rating, because that's like the only way to grow the podcast. And we saw some really interesting stats that podcasting is going to really take off in 2023. So we're feeling very optimistic and hopeful about the pod, and your support will really help us achieve our goals. So yeah, I just wanted to thank you guys so much for all the support this year. And thank you to Darsh too. We'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you, Jacqueline. We'll see you guys next week, Monday, 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern. We'll chat soon, guys. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. And we'll chat soon. All right.
Love it.
See you guys.